This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your own home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Now up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, Yo Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. We're here until 7 o'clock. Jerry's Percentages at 5:30.
All right.
And Pierre LeBrun, our Hockey Insider, is also in studio here.
Is there going to be anybody left by Monday?
So I shouldn't say this probably publicly, but I could care less. So I know it bothers James Duthie and a lot, and we have a show to do, and our show's always terrific. But as an insider whose job is to just work on trades, if there are trades or not trades, I can't control that.
Right.
I will work on them if they're there. If they're not there, that's life.
Right.
I'm just going to put that out there.
Yeah, but let's hope for more trades.
Yeah, we want a good show.
More interesting.
We
when
want
that
a
happens.
Good show. Yeah.
Well, what's explain this deal between Toronto and Florida?
Yes. You know,
in terms of the optics, right? Like, these are inconsequential players for the most part. Mason Marchment leaving, Malgin coming in. Malgin's 23, he's 5'9". I mean, that's what most people here are focused on. Seems like every other guy Kyle Dubas wants to get. As long as you're under 6 feet, Dubas will take you. But these two teams are focused on the exact same position. Why are they making a trade?
It's interesting.
Like, I appreciate it because they both have to explain it to their fan bases, but I'm sure people in Florida are like, you're making a deal with the Leafs? What are you doing here?
Yeah, it's interesting. So I reached out to Dale Talon today, and because I had sort of the same idea. I was perplexed because the two teams, it's going to be one of these two teams for the third place in the Atlantic,
right.
Now labeled a spot no one wants. and that's what Dale Talon revealed, that Dennis Malgin has asked for a trade repeatedly over the last several weeks. His agent, Peter Svoboda, also confirmed that to me.
How does a guy that I've never heard of demand a trade?
I mean, he's bounced around that lineup. And so to answer your question, I know the Leafs have had their eye on this guy for a bit. Nice. They see upside with a change of scenery in this guy. It's bottom six guy, but he's got some skill. He's not a big guy, ironically, and you know, what Dale Talon likes in Marchment is that he likes the grit and physicality that he brings to his lineup. But at the end of the day, I think the Leafs view this as they sign Marchment as a UFA, right, and turn him into a younger skill guy, or they hope a guy that can show his skill. We'll see. Could be a nothing trade at the end of the day, but it would be funny if one of those two players, at the end of the day, if these two teams are separated by a point, does something for either team.
I could see that. Like, Noggin scores.
Just takes one thing.
Yeah, like a goal late in a game, even if it's, you know, game would... like 10 to go or whatever.
I don't dislike Malgin. Like, I've watched him there in Florida. Like, he's his career high is 11 goals in 51 games a couple years ago for the Panthers. He's a small, skilled guy. I don't personally see Marchment. Like, I'm not sure if he's an everyday guy. So I'm thinking Florida is probably there's a bigger picture maybe.
Well, like, and they're among the more active teams right now, from what I can tell from talking to other teams.
That's kind of what
league.
I'm sensing is, like, they're clearing that player out. Marchment can go down. Like, there might be something else on the horizon. Florida's, I don't know if they're all in, but they have to be. They have to be at least showing. They signed a goaltender for $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
They identified that that's what they wanted. I think they need depth at D, and, you know, they can score. That's the same, you know, that the narrative here in Toronto, but, you know, they need help. So I it wouldn't surprise me if they did something a little bigger than a Malkin or Malgin.
I think they have the potential to be the total wild card of this trade deadline, the team that the Leafs are battling for third in the Atlantic. For all the reasons you just outlined, Noodles, but they really, really, really need a top four D.
Yeah.
I don't know if they need it more than Toronto.
Yeah, exactly.
But they really need one. They're loaded offensively. They also feel, by the way, and this is where maybe they're a bit different than the Leafs, they feel they have guys ready to jump up from the A. I mean, you think of Owen Tippett. They have guys they feel are ready, too. So, you know, they've listened on Mike Hoffman. They've listened on Vincent Trocheck. Doesn't mean they're going to move any of them. But I've talked to a couple teams this week that said, man, Florida's really getting out there trying to understand what they could do. Maybe they do nothing.
Well, I mean, they're different. They're dealing with a very different marketplace. Not that they necessarily concern themselves with that. I mean, you operate within your bubble. You do what is best for your team.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think Florida Radio is, you know, freaking out right now the way people are up here in Toronto.
I've noticed that today.
Yeah.
I noticed you on Twitter last night, too. I was going to reach out and give you a hug.
I thought you were controlled.
I was trying to be. I mean, saying that I'm Nick Cage from Leaving Las Vegas.
That was the one I was referring to.
Driving an 18-wheeler down Vegas Boulevard, Las Vegas Boulevard, would suggest that there's some level of concern.
There is some level.
But there has to be.
We said the facts, though, too. They are in a playoff spot. This isn't necessarily the 18-wheeler, but the way things are trending, it is not going in the right direction for a team that should be desperate. And we talked about the most important segment of the season and how many games there were. You detailed yesterday how many quality teams they have to play, what number of games, blah, blah, blah. And they just go out there and they just absolutely wiped one away last night. It was a joke.
Yeah, and they did it 2 days earlier in Buffalo. Like, yeah. I can justify you losing to Pittsburgh. Everyone loses to Pittsburgh right now. Everybody. Like, Pittsburgh is red hot. Outside of them running into Tampa,
they look all right, don't they?
They look great. They do. And their record would indicate that. They're ahead at Washington now. But Buffalo? Like, come on. And then if you respond like that against Buffalo, show up against Pitt. Even if you lose, you got to show up. And if you just played instead of level of concern, level of confidence, how can anyone be confident they're going to win tomorrow night?
Yeah.
How can you be confident? And how can they be confident? That's what I want to see. Because they can say it. I want to see them prove it. Because Pittsburgh's confident. You know, Pittsburgh's rolling in tomorrow being like, we got these guys.
Well, and 71 may be back in the lineup.
He could be.
Right? If he wasn't feeling
well. Made the trip.
If he wasn't feeling well, then they would have pumped him full of IV and fluids and sent him home last night, tried to have a good sleep, and gets on the plane today.
By the way, what's Morgan Riley's next contract worth right now?
Well,
I thought about that the other day in the middle of all this. Like,
what's Freddie Anderson's deal look like?
Yeah.
Because you can go both ways.
Yeah.
Like Freddie, you know, in individual, the thing is about the Anderson conversation, when you watch the individual games, you're like, well, I couldn't do anything about that one, couldn't do anything about that one. But Noodles, like you said the other day, you give up five, you're still like, I gave up five.
Yeah, like I have a tough time.
And not
like,
no necessarily about last night, but his numbers are not great.
No, and the numbers don't lie, but you have to look at context. That's the only thing I would say. Like last night, I thought it was a stupid narrative online by people just going, "Ma, the Leafs are fine if Anderson just had a 9-10 save percentage." How do you get to 9-10 when you got backdoor plays and stuff? You got to look at the quality of shots that he's facing. So, I get it, and I'm not going to sit here and say that the fifth goal is on him. He's got to be better on that.
The game's over.
You're right, but maybe it's not. Maybe you keep it at four, and you like the point is you can control what you can control, but you can't defend five goals against regardless how they go in. Like as a goalie coach, you're like you've got to find a way. Sometimes goalies just they make that ridiculous save at the right time, and that's Freddie did that earlier in the season.
Can I just say, and I do a lot of my work. I'm a national guy. I work with, cover all the teams, but the bulk of my work is either the Leafs or the Habs.
Right.
There's so many similarities in terms of the extreme reactions and the passion.
Yeah.
Two original six Canadian markets.
Yeah.
Who shared a terrible night together last night. I find more than ever, and I don't know if it's because of social media and whatever else, but I find it way more reactionary than ever, even in the 18-wheeler era. When the Leafs were rolling with Sheldon Keefe early, there was this immense, I'm not saying you guys, I mean the fan base, and then just what I'm reading, what I'm feeling, all my friends are Leaf fans. When they were rolling under Sheldon Keefe and the players were quite happy to tell people how happy they were with the coaching change, there was this extreme reaction of where this team, there was a lot of, if you do the math on what their record is after 10 games of Sheldon Keefe, they're really this team.
Right, extrapolation.
And I remember just trying to say, whoa, like small sample size, a lot of talent here, but let's just, so in other words, I felt it went too much that way. And now what I would tell you over the last couple of days, I know how bad it looks. I'm not defending them, but I feel there's been an overreaction on the other end too.
Yeah, it's fair.
They're going to find their navel. They're going to find who they are. Do I think they can beat Tampa or Boston? I wouldn't bet on it. But they're better. But they're better than what they are right now. I'm telling you right now. There's going to be a stabilizing period with this team before the end of the regular season, and you're going to suddenly feel a bit better about them. I really do feel that.
Yeah, there'll be peaks and valleys.
They're a contender in the sense that these days, if you make the playoffs, who knows? Seriously.
Right.
I mean, that's the league now.
Yeah, but when did that actually
But the best two teams in the East are in front of them in the Atlantic. That's a big problem.
And the other two are Pittsburgh and Washington, who you're going to meet one of them in the conference finals.
I agree.
Listen, you're right that if you get in, you could do what Columbus did last year. Right. You could do what Carolina did. But in the end, it was St. Louis, Boston, right? Like, generally speaking, the top four or five teams, they're there in the end. Now, St. Louis was not that around this time last year. 100%.
Right.
They're starting to chug.
That was an outlier, though.
Right.
Like that one.
But the year before was Washington that won. The year before that,
hold on
Pittsburgh.
For a second.
The year before
you
that,
went quick
Pittsburgh.
On that one.
What, are you going to say Vegas?
No.
They didn't win.
No. That was a complete, no one saw that coming. I'm saying Washington, that's not the year people picked them.
No.
And that's easily forgotten about that year when they finally won. That was the year where they actually said, we're going to go younger and we're in a team in transition. I quoted Brian McClellan, the GM, in September of that year saying, we'll see what we are this year. I'm just saying the league is funny that way.
You're right, but Washington was still like a perennial playoff team.
Every year.
The bones were like there was a 100-point team. Like they were.
Hey, Pierre, the Leafs could do that. They could flip a switch and all of a sudden become something that I don't think they are right now. But as for right now,
well, and that's what
they're
he's
a
saying.
Ways away
that's
from
what
that.
He's saying. Maybe they're somewhere in between. But the stabilizing period, the concern, I guess, I would voice is, what if the stabilizing period takes 10 games? Well, then now you got 10 games. Like, what is Florida doing in those 10 games? Like, you know, their schedule is a little easier than the Leafs. Like, you're running out of time and you're running out of runway and excuses. Like, that's the thing. Like, I have no problem with a loss. But I think what people are pissed off is how they lost. They're watching that going, like, that Pittsburgh team, like, outworked them. Like, being outworked, I think, frustrates people more than anything.
Absolutely.
Well, and we've mentioned this before. It's interesting, some of the teams that seem to give the Leafs harder time than others. Like, we just talked off air how, you know, Habs fans are beside themselves because they're 0-4 against Detroit. The Habs are also 3-0 against the Leafs.
Right.
And the common denominator in those three games, I find, is that one team's outworking the other.
Yeah.
And that's not a skill thing. That's not a teachable thing. At some point, and I think, again, I believe the Leafs are going to get there. I know I'm the glass half full guy. But there has to be an organic reaction on this team where it's roll up your sleeve time middle of this game when we're down 2-0, as opposed to we're going to outskill this team the rest of the night to get back into this, if that makes any sense.
Well,
there has to be a DNA reaction here where it's like, okay, now we're in the thick of it. Let's go.
But I would argue, Pierre, it has to start before you're down 2-0.
Right.
That's the issue. You know, I was saying earlier,
that's a big picture mentality and approach that's not even close to being
accessible relevant. Right now with this team. Right. They're not.
Well, he's saying they play the same way all the time. That's the one thing you brought to the table right away.
Yeah.
Whether they're up 5-2, down 5-2, it's like, nah, you know, throw them out
just
there.
Keep plugging along, doing your thing, and commit to the program.
Sometimes that's great, but sometimes it doesn't. Like, sometimes you want... I saw the vitriol and frustration online where Jason Spezza was the only guy who looked like he was pissed last night.
Played to the end.
Now whether that's true or not, I'm sure guys care.
I don't
I'm
think
sure.
Jake Muzzin was too thrilled, judging
no,
from his post-game comments.
No, I understand. But,
he wasn't exactly Gretzky.
No, but
he struggled too.
Did you not see that same type of, or get that reaction? Where it's like,
I do think that speaks to the composition of the team and the disposition of the players. I mean, a lot, like, John Tavares is not a yell and scream rah-rah guy.
Right.
Matthews
by example.
Isn't. Yeah, William Nylander isn't going to break his stick over the post. I mean, that's just not who they are. It's tough to determine the fire or whatever.
Right.
But, I did sense that, and I do think that speaks to the emotion that you were speaking of, Pierre. It's like, well, if I'm mad on the couch, why aren't you mad on the bench?
Right.
Sheldon Keefe was mad. I mean, he was popping off post-game last night. And even when he was asked about who's going to start on Thursday, he's like, we got to think about that. And then today, he's like, oh, it was an easy decision. Freddie starts tomorrow. It wasn't so easy in the scrum when you were heated last night.
Right.
And we'll see what – I agree with you in terms of peaks and valleys. It's been full of them all year. And they got 21 games left. Chances are they'll peak and valley a couple more times.
And this team may be more than almost any team in the league in terms of when they look great. They look like an offensive juggernaut, and when they look bad, they look like they have no clue. That's a vast difference.
And that has been an issue recently. All of a sudden, they're not scoring at the same level that they were they were running off big-time wins.
The only thing that worries me now is pre-scouts. Like, teams are ready for the Leafs. Like, Pittsburgh, they didn't go in there thinking, okay, what are the Leafs going to throw at us? They were like, we're going to impose our will. We know exactly how we want to play because we've been playing like this leading up for 60 games. The Leafs have been kind of playing almost a couple different ways this season. I would love to see them play the way they played in Arizona that night when Sheldon Keefe took over. Like, the attention to detail was, like, you could tell the guys were like, you know, they cared. Like, they wanted to, like, it was a will game.
As an aside, with Sidney Crosby having another monster night the other night, I worked the Montreal-Pittsburgh game last week where he destroyed the Habs single-handedly.
Yeah.
He looks like a guy that the silver lining towards his absence has been that he's fresh. And not only that, but I remember when Mike Babcock, when Austin Matthews was a rookie and he showed a young Austin Matthews video of a lot of things Sidney Crosby did away from the puck. He's still, I know that Connor McDavid's now the best player in the world. I guess I know. I don't know what you guys think. But I was reminded last night that when Sidney's healthy and when he has his energy reserves and he's dialed in and he knows that the real hockey's coming, like, that guy, in every facet of the game, is still the king.
I would treat him going forward any year he wants to play past this one, just like Kawhi Leonard. If they have a comfortable points lead, they make the playoffs, I'd be like, what time do you want off?
Right.
How much time do you need off? And get ready for the playoffs, because that's all that matters.
I mean, last night, he's influencing every little facet of the game, right?
Yeah, you're right.
It's crazy.
Yeah, well, he's been doing it for a while. He's last night was, but again, I think a lot of it is his greatness. A lot of it was also the Leafs were just pathetic last night.
Yeah, sure.
You know, like he taps in a backdoor wide open. Yeah, you know, it counts as a goal.
Speaking
but
of your backdoor.
Mean, anyone technically, although he stopped at the net, some guys would have floated around the net, and that speaks to
he was
detail.
Making sure that was going in.
He knew it was going in for sure. Yeah. And I'm not taking anything away from what he did. He was spectacular last night.
Yeah, he was.
But
the Leafs need is a top four right-handed D.
That is exactly what they need.
I'm here for the big observations. No, but I wanted to get there since you had me on. I mean, that's my job.
No, but here's another thing about what was happening online. The hashtag FireDube is trending everywhere.
Yeah.
But where does Shanahan come into play on this? Like, we keep talking about Dubas and Shanahan. Like, he's right in there as well. Like, he made his big moves. He picked Dubas.
Yeah.
He allowed Babcock to be fired. He was in the contract room. He was in the room negotiating with Marner. Matt, he was right there. So, is he tied to the hip?
I want to have that discussion after if they get waxed in the first round. I feel that's the proper window because now you've had four in a row out in the first round. Let's have that discussion. Again, I don't know if this thing's over.
Right.
Yeah. I'm just...
No, of course not.
But this is going to fascinate me between now and Monday in terms of the pressure in the Leafs front office not to do something stupid, which I don't think they will. I know that they feel in their hearts, all right, this is what I believe, is that if they can get that the big fish, the top four right-handed D, that it's not just a salvage this year, although that would be the immediate short-term benefit, but it's something that they needed to do this summer anyway, right? They're going into June, that's number one on their plate. Can they do both? Can they kill two birds with one stone? They're making calls, believe me.
Who's the big fish, though? That's what I keep trying to think. So, is it Dumba?
So Dumba, Josh Manson, and Ristolainen are the three obvious guys. I will tell you that I do believe there has been at least some level of communication between the Sabres and Leafs. And I think that thing has been left at right now that the two teams can't make that go before Monday, that it's a summer, if they even go back to it, that it would be a summer thing for cap reasons, for all kinds of reasons.
Is that on Ristolainen alone?
Yes.
Or?
Yes. Now, again, who knows? Maybe I'm wrong and they get back at it. I do believe there's been conversation with Minnesota about Dumba. But Bill Guerin has told teams around the league, I want a young center, I need this, I need that. Right now, I'm not seeing the pieces coming from Toronto right now.
Right.
Right.
Josh Manson,
what are they going to do, grow one?
Well, no, so this is the thing. As you go around, that's what it's it's a good exercise to do instead of just saying names, is to try in your head and
they even have what they want.
Yeah, yeah, it's about that fit. You start looking at that whiteboard and going, geez, we'd like here. Okay, who has that? What team has an expendable piece? Or you can force that hand is expendable. Like, so, the Leafs don't have it. They have a winger.
And Manson to me is an overbuy. That even though I think Bob Murray in Anaheim is really disappointed in his team this year and listening on guys that may surprise you, I think he's one of the cornerstone guys where they say this guy's one of our heart and soul guys, but blow us away. That's the only way you get him out of Anaheim is an overpay.
Yeah, and that's the issue because, you know, Bob McKenzie said it multiple times that the Leafs are not interested in Sandin, Liljegren, Robertson, a first-round pick. So if you're not going to trade those guys, how are you making a deal where the other team... Yeah, like, exactly.
He always comes back. He used to always come back to Kapanen or Janssen, but Janssen's not tradable.
And what so is comes Kapanen's down to Kapanen, value?
And you're not getting a top four for Kapanen. No. Kapanen's only a part of a package.
Exactly. What other Canadian team do you expect to be really active? Is there one in particular where you're like, these guys are...
Yeah, Calgary's got to make a move. You know, they were in on Taylor Hall, as you know. They were runners-up on Taylor Hall in December. They tried on Tyler Toffoli, but I don't think as hard as people think, but they tried. I'm told they tried on Brendan Dillon. So now there's tangible proof that they've tried both up front and on the back end here. So that's why I'm saying there's a team that's making calls and trying to see what they can do to help themselves. So I keep an eye on the Flames. I think Vancouver's not done. They made a big trade for Toffoli. I think they still have interest in Wayne Simmonds, by the way. So those two teams are interested. Obviously, Ottawa's a big seller. That's not that exciting. And Montreal's just always fun because there's so much drama. So we'll see what happens with the Canadiens on Monday. Kovalchuk, probably the most compelling situation there.
All right.
Since you're an insider, what do you think about this? I heard this comment last week. The Dallas Cowboys are willing and ready to get rid of Dak Prescott to get Tom Brady.
Now, where did you read that?
Michael Irvin.
That's your boy.
He said it on our air?
That's your boy. No, he didn't say it on TSN, but he was.
I know he does hits with us.
He was peddling it for sure.
That they're more than willing to move away from Dak Prescott.
TB12 as a Cowboy.
Would you like a winner, mon frère?
I'm going to go no.
Really?
Wow.
I respect Tom Brady, but that feels like, what's a great example? That just feels
Marty
like...
Marty Brodeur going to St. Louis?
Well, I think Tom Brady... Yeah, well, yeah.
The only way, the only thing Brady I can think of to say is two-way crazy.
I also like Dak Prescott, so what can I tell
What's
you? So I don't
so
see the
long
need.
With Dak? Like, I know that he's probably asking for... But Dak, he's a good quarterback. He's not a great quarterback,
but he's a
good quarterback.
You can get a guy
games.
That's between 8 and 12, and I think that's what he is.
Yeah,
out of 32. Yeah.
Yeah, like, look at his numbers.
He'll
he doesn't
him.
Turn the ball over for the most part. I don't know. I think they got to sign him. Like, they might franchise tag him, I guess.
That's the protection they have, yeah.
Yeah. I would sign him, though.
Ooh, like, got me excited. They got me excited thinking about the Cowboys. I hadn't thought about them in a while.
8-8, right? Is that how they ended, or 7-9?
8-8.
Yeah. That's too bad.
I think if you look at the definition of 8-8 in the modern NFL, there's like a blue silver star.
Yeah. The NFC East probably.
Well, it's the Browns, but the Cowboys are in there now.
Browns aren't 8-8. They wish they were 8-8.
They would take a few, though.
They weren't even 8-8 in this year when they were supposed to win the Super Bowl, according to Mayfield and Beckham Jr. and your boy.
Well, we got your coach now in Dallas, buddy. So
yeah, I think it's a pretty good hire. I mean, Mike McCarthy, he's good. He's good coach. Like he's won a Super Bowl. It's not easy to win a Super Bowl, man.
It reminds me, I still owe you dinner, which I hate. I don't like when someone's holding something on me like that.
I'm not holding it. I'm not bothering you about
Bring it.
Bring
it in.
It'll
I'm
happen.
Not, no, I'm not kidding. We have to take those guys that we got in the football. We have to buy them dinner, like before the radio. They keep asking me. They're like, you know, we had a side bet for dinner for this elimination pool.
Yeah.
So we got to do it because they're asking. And I know what's going to happen. You're going to be like,
take him to the Mandarin.
We could do that.
Mandarin.
Let's go. I don't know. We'll figure something out.
We'll just go to Grazzi one night. We'll buy them a plate of spaghetti and we'll watch a Leaf game and it'll be
So we got to go to their spot?
Whatever. Yeah. Who cares? We just have to pay for it. Or I will. You just have to
pay. I'll pay for it. I'll pay. Although you made the pick that got us knocked out of the pool.
Yeah, that's it.
What pick was that?
Who did he take again? Grappler, remember?
He doesn't know.
We'll look that up.
I thought you did a lot of hedging at the end to protect yourself with all the NFL bets, no?
Well, that was between the two of us.
It was a group decision.
It didn't go so well.
Come up with something, and he says yes or no, I like it, I don't like it, and he said, I like it.
Yeah, it didn't.
I can't remember who we took. I don't remember how we lost. It's heartbreaking, though. We were rolling there for a while.
We were right there.
Yeah. Anyway, all right,
been Pierre. KC. It might have been KC that screwed us.
It could have been.
Yeah.
It was a good team for sure. It was early in the year, so.
Got some That's Hockey.
No, it
Attaboy.
Was the Rams.
Sports Center.
It was the Rams.
Right
was
RDS.
Against Tampa.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Pierre. Good stuff, buddy.
Love you guys.
Good seeing you, man.
All right.
Have a great few days. More and more trades. Keep them coming.
I think the main takeaway from my from my visit today is just to
settle down.
We haven't lost control of our emotions the whole day.
Okay.
We're just being
very even-keeled.
Very open-minded about it.
That's right.
Good.
Playing the guitar with our hair on fire. Very composed.
I saw that tweet.
Very composed. Here he is, Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider. Jerry's percentages, who will be emotional, I'm sure.
Yes.
Next.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
I don't love being commissioner as much as I used to. I actually love it even more.
That's the voice of a f***ing
Hall of Famer.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
Jerry! You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
All right, Jerry's Percentages is brought to you by BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken. From 2 people to 300, let BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, do the cooking. Head on down to 942 on the Queensway or online at bestpc.ca. That's where we'll take them. Go for dinner at Best Portuguese Chicken.
Yes.
Done.
Locking in. July or August. I'm wide open.
No, before the season.
Well, season's coming to an end quickly, man. 21 games.
Don't even start with me. I'll forget it. I don't even want you to come.
No, I want to be there. I'm a part of the team.
Okay, it's happening next week.
Okay, you give me some dates. You haven't offered me a date.
I'll just tell you, next week,
we'll get a
dinner going there after work, and we're going to watch a Leaf game with them, and we're going to buy them dinner. There's only two of them.
You got it, man. Can't wait for it. All right, you guys ready for Jerry's percentages?
Ready to rock.
All right.
If you thought Jerry was horny last week for Valentine's Day, you won't believe how frisky things get when the Leafs are in meltdown mode. Jerry's typing in 18wheelerhub.com and turning the lights down low. By the way, I had a bowl of cereal this morning, all Viagra. Best part is, Jerry doesn't have to delete this Google search history. Jerry's got it on his home screen.
What was that site again?
18wheelerhub.com.
That is completely inappropriate. And I don't believe that that website exists. I'm calling fake news on Jerry.
It is fake news.
18wheelerhub.com. And you never need to delete your Google search history when it's about the Maple Leafs melting down. So Jerry's a happy man. What a shock. Hating on the Leafs is what he does better than anything else. He's ready for the hot takes on the week?
Yeah, let's go.
Jerry's fantasy is seeing all seven Canadian teams miss the playoffs. But that likely won't happen. But I still think the Leafs will finish the season with more points than any other Canadian team.
That is an interesting one. So the Leafs and Edmonton are currently tied at 70 points. Edmonton has two games in hand. Vancouver is a point behind the Leafs, but they have two games in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Calgary is 2 points behind the Leafs. They've both played 61 games. And Winnipeg is three behind the Leafs. They've also played 61. So
I'm going to say Edmonton ends up with the most points.
Okay.
So I'm going 12% to 15%. That Toronto ends up with the highest point total
in the country.
It's basically the field. The field versus the Leafs.
Yeah, Toronto versus
the
field, basically.
Yeah, I'm low because Winnipeg could be there.
Well, they all could be there, but so could the Leafs. The Leafs could also. I mean, it's not really the field because Montreal and Ottawa are not actually included. But
so you got four other teams. Percent. 11.
Okay, look 11%. At you guys. I mean, I think we're talking about the four Western teams and Toronto. So that would indicate it's at least a 20% chance.
I think you need more points out west, you may.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't. That's the crazy thing about this is the Leafs could end up with more points and the other three could still make the playoffs.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
yeah, because if you end up...
Like Edmonton's in first, and they got the same amount of points as Toronto.
You could end up with 95 points and miss the playoffs east, and that may be right. Like,
I don't know. It's going to be.
I should go a little bit higher, but
I'll say 20% because I'm actually going to play the odds. I think we're talking about five teams. I will take the Leafs at a 20% odds. I mean, we're dealing with recency bias right now, but Edmonton. You see, McDavid's back in Edmonton, but not skating yet, and not much of an update. Like,
they lost Klefbom.
They lost Klefbom. Cassian is still suspended for a while.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it could.
Who do they have tonight? Boston?
Yes, they got Boston. They've got a tough schedule coming up. You know, Winnipeg's in Ottawa tomorrow. I'm calling that game. Like, you know, I still think Winnipeg can make it. I personally do.
Yeah, for sure. Well, they're in the running.
Well, they're right there. They're one point out of the playoffs. So
okay.
Winnipeg's the one team I think should be the Columbus Blue Jackets of last year. Just make some hay.
We'll see.
Dump picks, whatever.
They traded a third for DeMello. Let's see what else they're going to do. Like you know, Brian Little's out for the year. They haven't filled that spot. Like, Adam Lowry's not playing. Like, they've got some – they're banged up.
Well, especially
– like, you know, we've never talked about Buff in weeks now.
Especially if you can get the first wild card, because then you're going to the Pacific and you're playing Edmonton or Vegas or Vancouver.
Right,
you're not going through St. Louis and Colorado and Dallas.
Correct.
Now, that, you know, you never know where you're going to be post-trade deadline, but if you can get in that spot, let's say you play Edmonton in the first round, if you're Winnipeg, you'd feel pretty good about yourself. A lot better than playing St. Louis.
Dallas team, they could...
They're sneaky, too.
Yeah, they're sneaky good. By the way, they were a couple plays away last year where Binnington made unreal saves in overtime to advancing. Like, they were real close.
They got to a game seven, right?
Yeah.
Against them. All right, so we're all locked in. We're good with those percentages?
Yeah.
Okay.
If Freddie Anderson continues to play like Vesa Toskalic tomorrow night, Jack Campbell will get the start Saturday night against Carolina. Freddie needs to pull his head out of his ass immediately.
Wise words. I would say the whole team probably should be adhering to that advice at this point. But if he gets lit up tomorrow, doesn't play well, and they lose, Jerry has Jack Campbell in net Saturday night.
I could see, I mean, at some point,
100?
I told you guys I wouldn't have been surprised if Campbell would have started tomorrow.
Right.
Just based on, you know, how fragile your team is. But I'd like that Sheldon Keefe doubled down with Freddie instead of letting everyone off the hook. Because to me, everyone was just like, oh, it's the goalie's fault. And yeah, he's part of it, but that team is part of it too. So I think he's saying, everyone, we're going right back at it, same lineup. Get your head out of your asses.
Right, and he also, you know, today said it wasn't that difficult of a decision because Freddie's our guy.
But last night he didn't
say that. Last night after the game, he did not indicate it was such an easy decision.
If he's not the guy tomorrow night, then he's going somewhere else.
I would suggest, you know, common sense would indicate that is the truth. But I think this might be the most difficult decision any coach can make is... You've got, like, Freddie is their guy. Yes, his numbers have not been great. He has not had a great year. He hasn't. But as you've said before, Noodles, like, just simply, who's the better goalie?
Who's the better goalie?
It's Frederick Anderson.
Yes, every day of the week.
But, you know, you're dealing with, do I keep the confidence of my guy, the guy I believe is going to actually give me the best chance to win long term, or do I go with the guy that could save the season? Maybe if I feel like he's in a better headspace.
Well, it just it's
on very
a roll
difficult
right now.
to deal with.
Like, I mean, he's on a roll right now, but I guarantee you on the plane last night, if they flew back last night, if they did. You have this conversation as to, okay, like Campbell is in a bit of a groove. You know, he's the regardless of quality of competition, he's delivered points.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
So they've probably had to have that conversation as to it would be easy to go to Jack. He's kind of on a roll. But what are the long-term ramifications of that? You know, do you lose Freddie mentally? You know, he's come back off the injury. You know, been okay, but again, it hasn't looked great statistically. You have to look at the bigger picture. And also what I just said about not letting the guys off the hook. Because if you start your backup, that's saying, okay, we think this was on the goalie. Not on you guys.
Mm-hmm. I think if you start the backup, which some people say is the right play, I think Freddie mentally could be gone for the year.
That would be my concern.
That's what I was saying, and that's why I don't think it's
100%
Saturday.
There's
some people that believe that he should be in net, and that's an idea. But I think if you do that mentally, Freddie goes, all right, screw you, he will sewer you.
Would that change between Thursday and Saturday? How is it any different?
Well, I think if it happens again tomorrow where he stinks tomorrow night, you have no choice. It's one of those things where it's like, okay, we have to do this.
I'll say 80% because of... everything you just said.
I'm 85%. I think Jack plays Saturday if Freddie doesn't play well tomorrow.
Jerry would like to congratulate fellow commissioner Bobby Manns, a.k.a. Rob Manfred, for being the biggest joke in pro sports. Between you, Goodell, and the pencil neck silver, Jerry looks like a goddamn stud. And lucky for me, Manfred will still be the commissioner in 5 years. He'll still be handing out that piece of metal. Jerry thinks he's a piece of shit.
Really, it was harsh, man. I mean,
like, he went too far.
Yeah, like you talk about, you know, glass houses.
I would almost bet that stuff wasn't even on the script.
I can't imagine it would be. I mean, there's no way anyone would be that ridiculous to post that on a script. But 5 years, Manfred will still be around. I brought up the idea earlier this afternoon about the players throughout baseball taking a page out of the NBA's playbook.
Right.
Where, if you can recall, when Donald Sterling was taped and was saying, you know, racial epithets, and he had a long history and everyone hated his guts. And
yep.
When that went public, you know, Adam Silver at the time, who was a new commissioner, Manfred hasn't been on the job that long. It spread like wildfire. And by all accounts, the players throughout the NBA basically protested and said, we're not playing again until you get rid of Sterling. And they got rid of Sterling. Could you see it getting so ugly here? Because it feels ugly. Like, Manfred is just a whipping boy throughout baseball. Everyone hates him. It is carte blanche. You can go at him. You can say or do anything you want. There's no fining. There's nothing. Could you see the players being like, you know what, forget it. We're protest. We don't want this guy the commissioner anymore.
In 2020, can you get rid of him? I could see it happening.
I don't think it's that shocking.
We're actually not coming back to the ballpark.
We're not coming back to any ballpark unless this guy's not in charge.
It's a joke, and we don't like him.
But guess who controls all that? The owners. And the owners are going to go, we print money. So go back to work.
Yeah, so did the NBA owners, though. And Sterling was one of them. They didn't want to be identified as, you know, in his club.
It's a little different.
It's a very different context. It is.
Because, you know, this
that was racial, and this is about business and cheating. There's no doubt about that.
I know what you mean, but you're right. You can't compare the two based on the topics.
Right.
But I can't see it. Like, I can't see any, like, even if the players are like, yeah, we're not playing because of Manfred, he'd be like, okay, go to, you know. You're not getting paid.
Well, it might force him to
be like, you're not getting paid.
Might force him to almost resign and be like, you know what? I have caused such a storm here. I think he's going to be there in 5 years, though.
Yeah,
like, based on what Goodell went through, arguably worse in terms of the vitriol being directed towards him, and he survived. And Goodell's not going anywhere.
Yeah,
I'll say 60% Manfred is still there in 5 years.
I'm 90%. I think even if they make a stink, like, it'll get worse before it gets better. Like, meaning they would lose, you know, wages or whatever. And guys, when it comes down to it, guys just care about themselves. They care about their own careers. They're not going to be, you know, taking a stand.
Well, that's the beauty of Verlander. A guy like Verlander,
exactly.
Right? Keep circling back on. He can't wait to get on his soapbox and tell you about everything that's wrong with the world until it's him in the clubhouse
right. And
his championship ring. And he's like, I'm not giving this back.
Right, he's
and
like,
I'm not
going
to throw my guys under the bus.
Exactly.
Anybody that won a championship is going to say that. I'm not giving this back.
Right.
Yeah.
And that
you think I like people coming to my house in the summertime or at the cottage in the winter, whatever, and they're saying, where's your World Series trophy? And they're going to take that away? Screw that.
No, exactly.
They're not doing it.
Your morals and your ethics get put aside
quickly. And Verlander, a guy like that's thinking, I went out there and pitched as hard as I could, and I was dominant. I don't know what the hell the hitters are doing. It's not
but
my
it's
business.
Easy. But to your point, it's easy when it's somebody else to weigh in on it.
Yeah.
The minute it comes into your house, hold on a second here. Like, you know, you think twice because you start looking out self-preservation.
Right, and I haven't seen anyone say that. I mean, everyone's saying the same thing. If I knew what was coming, I'd hit 80 home runs. Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Because, listen, as good as you are, Bregman's just as good. He didn't hit 80 home runs. Right. Altuve's just as good. He didn't, you know, bat 900.
Right.
But also, any sort of perspective where, like, just one guy would like to hear, as much as I hate on the Astros, some guy step up and say, you know, I'd like to believe I would stop it, but I don't know if I would.
Right.
You know, I don't know. Because I might be in there thinking, this is how it's going, and
yeah,
I think we're going to win here. You know, so easy to be the moral arbiter when it's not your house.
Exactly.
Exactly. All right, we'll get back into Jerry's After Dark in about an hour. All right. Craig Button will be in studio in the next hour. Craig is on fire. I think he's been in a hyperbaric chamber since about 2 o'clock.
We're going to have to tell him no screwing around before this segment.
You're going to have
pep talk.
Stern talking
pep
to?
Pep talk. Because Craigie was absolute must-listen-to radio on Leafs Lunch today. It was exceptional. He and Andy were handling the situation very well. He's very professional. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Craig Button, our TSN hockey analyst in studio in the next hour. Some news out of Cleveland. John Boeheim is he's out. He had come in. He was in Michigan forever. He's in his mid-60s. And the reason that is relevant is because, you know, he had not been in the NBA. He'd been coaching in college, an incredibly impressive college resume. But he shows up in Cleveland. The Cavaliers are, I believe, 14-40. And they're a mess. And he clearly has no idea what to do. And
you want to see a mess, Google their record when LeBron's not there.
Oh, Cleveland? Oh,
yeah.
It is disgusting. Disgusting. Like, they're the worst team in the league when he's not there. When he's there.
Finals.
Yeah. And when he got drafted, they were the worst team in the league. So an 0-2-0-3 worst team in the league. He shows up, gives them 7 years.
Yeah.
They're really good. Leaves for four. They're awful. Comes back for, what was it,
finals.
Four, I think?
Finals.
Yeah. Finals, win a title. Leaves. We're terrible. So Boeheim is like, I've had enough. Now, there were some issues there. Like, he was talking about them earlier in the year, and he used the word thug to describe their play. And, you know, he immediately came out and said, that's not what I meant. I meant to say this, and it wasn't racial connotations.
Right.
But apparently the players didn't react so well to it. And they were basically treating him like he was a joker.
Yeah,
but
he was done.
Cleveland is going to pay him to not coach. You know, and that's what they do very, very well. And now the old Cleveland Cavaliers, like, we can goof on the Knicks all we want. It's not like the Cavs are any better. The only difference is they had LeBron.
Yep.
They had LeBron. And LeBron is from Akron, Ohio, so he decided to return and give them some more glory. There's a big heavyweight fight this weekend between Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. Two monsters. But Fury was doing an interview, I think, with ESPN. And he was asked about, you know, sacrificing anything during training. And he said he loves Diet Cokes. And he was drinking upwards of 20 to 30 a day.
What?
And he cut that off for training up to this fight. But can you imagine being the size he is? Like, he is huge. And taking down 30 Diet Cokes a day.
I know some Diet Coke lovers. But I think the number's like 4 to 5 a day.
I drink too much pop. I know I do.
I do too.
I drink too much Diet Coke, Diet Pepsi. I'm like 2 or 3 a day, tops.
Yeah.
Couple coffees. It's not healthy.
I don't drink coffee. I've never had a coffee in my life. I know what it tastes like. But if I need caffeine, there's my caffeine right there, Diet Coke.
Yeah.
But it's like a couple a day. If, you know, I buy those little skinny cans, the flavored ones.
Yeah, see, I don't.
I like those.
Do you get enough, though? You always probably have two.
Yeah, I have two of them.
So what's the point of having the skinny?
I have two throughout the day.
That will quench your thirst to skinny, like 230 milliliters?
Well, yeah,
that's all I need. I don't need, like, what do you need, the big?
I love
you were Griff, you were probably a 2 liter.
Well, Griff, I was drinking the real stuff. There wasn't diet anywhere in my vocabulary.
You were drinking leaded Coke?
Leaded. I was diesel. Dude, diesel.
How much calories is in a real Coke?
And here's the truth.
You wouldn't even believe it.
Here's the truth. I have not had a real Coke or Sprite or 7-Up or whatever in like 5 years. Yeah. And I feel like if I tasted one right now, I would.
It's the syrup.
It is so syrupy and sugar filled. You know, it's a great drink. Like, right. Who am I to say don't? Yeah, go ahead, live your life. I drank it forever. For 30 years, I was on that train.
You gotta do yourself one favor. If you want to treat yourself on your birthday, order Chinese food and get a regular Coke.
I don't think
Welcome
I could do it.
To heaven.
I don't think I could drink it. I really don't think I could.
Why? What do you think? You could drive to the department store and buy a whole case of them? Like,
what,
are you like a...
The syrup? Like I'm talking about, I think it would be like
your
an
taste
overload.
Buds would be
My
shocked,
taste buds
yeah.
would be like, wow.
And I think
you
got to like
ease into
there's
regular.
There's 180
Coke,
calories
man.
In like a regular
at least,
Coke,
man.
Right?
I think it's like 250 calories. It's almost like a calorie per milliliter.
See, that's like the
I think
Mountain Dew. And I used to love cream soda Fanta.
Yeah, I never got into those nice. Kind of specialty drinks.
You remember a Tahitian treat?
Yeah.
Tahiti treat. That was the best. It was like a
they
cream
had
soda.
I grew up with that. Tahiti treat.
Tahiti treat was pretty good.
I used
pretty
to
good.
Put vodka Tahiti treat.
That would be actually a great cocktail. That would be very good.
Get yourself in some trouble. It's pretty good.
Yeah, Mountain Dew, man. There was a guy who played in the NBA. There was an article written. He's a good player, too. I can't remember his name. It was in Gilbert Arenas, but I want to say he played in Washington. addicted to Mountain Dew. He said he would wake up in the middle of the night, like, with a Jones on and drink Mountain Dew. Wake up at 2:30 in the morning, be like, I need to have a Mountain Dew and go back to sleep.
That is ridiculous.
Like, that's a full-blown addiction.
Yeah,
man.
That's a flat-out addiction.
Like, that is a Jones. That's like, I can't go home unless I have a case of Mountain Dew waiting for me.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah. Waking up in the middle of the night.
I don't need anything other than to take
I want to sleep.
Yeah.
I've seen someone hungover mangle a can of Diet Coke hungover. Like, you're on the couch and you're having a peek and you see someone go in the fridge. You're like, oh, my God. God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The morning Diet Coke.
Yeah, that's
it happens a lot more often than you think. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
This hour has been brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.